looks from three. Now, to start the game, they hit the paint. Then it was a kick out to Boyd. He missed a couple early ones, you know, there that I thought were good looks. But all the time, was a great look because of a drive, a kick, and then a really wide open three. I didn't necessarily feel that that was always the case.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You kind of expect it.
Yeah, and the other thing, you know, the 9-19 at the free throw line, it looked like a team that, you know, get a day off or so, get yourself ready. You know, the games, it's 42 days to get 30 practices, yeah. In the case of the two exhibition games. I'm not going to really get too worked up over that.
I'm not going to get worked up over that, but it is one of those things that you look at as far as free throw attempts and how often they get there this year and where is that going to come from and how is that going to look. Now, it's been Wisconsin basketball for a very, very long time getting to the free throw line. But last year's team set a standard that I just don't know if you can replicate this year. And it's just something you have to watch because you're going to want to find ways to get easy points. Getting to the free throw line gives you a chance to get easy points, especially when a run is coming, especially when things aren't necessarily going your way, especially when you shoot 6 of 25 from 3. Mm-hmm. You're going to have to find ways to win games that you aren't shooting lights out. And getting to the free throw line is a big deal there. So I think that's one of those things that just as the season goes on, you evaluate it. Wisconsin out-rebounded Platteville 43-31. That's the other thing you got to look at is just rebounding the basketball at an elite level.
With the number of threes that Wisconsin wants to take and the number of threes that we see throughout a lot of college basketball, I mentioned during the broadcast, they averaged last year about 20 free throw attempts per game, and they were right there at 19. Yeah. Is that like a standard in terms of attempts? If you could get right around there, I mean, obviously you'd like to get more if you can, but could you live with 20 attempts per game?
I think getting 20 attempts is always good. I think it's one of those that you look at and that's kind of your goal. And I think if you ask Greg from three, probably he wants to try to get 30 is kind of what I mean about based on where they're at there. So I'd say 20 from the free throw line, 30 from three gives yourself a chance. You know, if you don't turn the ball over 15 times, you know, you're looking at another five probably possessions that end up in three. Even if you cut it down to 10, there's your 33s. So I don't think it's off base at all to figure out, you know, those kind of numbers.
Yeah, 15 turnovers, 14 for the Pioneers. Platteville with an edge in points off turnovers, 17-13. Badgers win it 69-53. And we'll have more as our Wisconsin Ford Dealers postgame show continues. This is Badger Basketball from Learfield.
Town and Country Television, An Appliance is your source for world-famous Speed Queen laundry products. With 3, 5, and 7-year warranty options, you'll be washing worry-free for years. Right now, an offer to save up to $400 on your choice of the sleek new matte black is waiting for you. Visit Town and Country Television and Appliance next to Goodwill, weekdays 8 to 5, or shop online at townandcountryrc.com.
Experience. When it comes to surgery, the more experience, the better. The surgical team at the Richland Hospital is experienced in using methods and materials that ensure that surgery is less invasive, healing is quicker, and relapse is less likely. For more information about surgeries performed at the Richland Hospital, visit richlandhospital.com.
And the Ad Council.
We continue with the Wisconsin Ford Dealers postgame show as the Badgers take down Platteville 69-53. This is the segment we'll normally take a look at out-of-town scores powered by TDS. Score big at TDS.com with fast, reliable fiber internet, TV, and mobile phone for home and business. And what this will be tonight is a look ahead to opening night in college basketball and, you know, the games in the Big Ten. There aren't the so-called big on big necessarily, but we can tell you that the regular season champion, Michigan State Spartans, will open at home against Colgate. Michigan State won the league by 3 full games last year. That could be easy to forget. That's hard to do, right?
Extremely.
I mean, Michigan won the Big Ten tournament, of course, knocking off Wisconsin in the championship game, but the Spartans, the regular season winners and hosting Colgate. Nebraska will take on West Georgia. The Badgers will play Nebraska in one of those early Big Ten games in December down in Lincoln. The Michigan Wolverines with an in-state game against Oakland of Michigan. Cal Poly will open up out of UCLA, USC. UCLA will be at home against Eastern Washington. And those are the kind of games you're getting on opening night. Minnesota led the home floor against Gardner-Webb. As for the Badgers, they have Campbell on Monday night at 7 o'clock, and then Friday night they'll take on Northern Illinois, and that game a week from Friday will tip at 7:30 here at the Kohl Center. 69-53, the Badgers beat Platteville. More of our Wisconsin Ford Dealers postgame shows coming up. This is Badger Basketball from Learfield.
Everyone wins when we take care of the environment. GFL delivers affordable, sustainable waste handling solutions to keep customers green for life. Diverse services include commercial waste and recycling collection, roll-off dumpster rental, and more. Customizing options to meet your specific business needs. GFL is the total solution. A local, trusted service provider in solid waste collection, recycling, and disposal services, providing you with safe, dependable, and efficient solid waste and recycling services. Green today. Green for life. GFL.
Few things can match a rockin' fifth quarter after a big Badger victory, but a pregame tailgate bash at Camp Randall with a grill full of Usinger sausage is awfully close. Hi, this is Robin Yao. A parking lot filled with the delicious aroma of Usinger sausage cooking up on a crisp, cool fall day is a Wisconsin football tradition. Nearly 150 years of making Wisconsin's finest sausage guarantees you've got the best. The elf on the label means quality on your table.
Hey, Badger fans, it's college football season, and SeatGeek is the official ticket marketplace of Hail Marys and walk-on heroes. SeatGeek makes it easy to find tickets, so you can be a part of all the action this season. Whether you're buying or selling tickets to Wisconsin football games or to any other live event in your area, SeatGeek is the place to do it. SeatGeek is the official ticket marketplace of the Wisconsin Badgers. Let's go, Badgers! SeatGeek.
Badgers are born brave. They're not afraid to face a tough opponent or take on the impossible. At UW Health Carbone Cancer Center, our team of doctors take on cancer with that same Badger stamina. Where others step back, we step up, researching, treating, and defeating even the most complex cancers, making us the only NCI-designated comprehensive cancer center in the state. So now, from stadium to hospital, you can count on Wisconsin and UW Health to fight and win. UW Health Carbone Cancer Center. Remarkable.
Hey, Badger fans, Tony Drake with Drake & Associates, proud partner of Wisconsin Athletics. How do you prepare for the big game? You strategize, right? Well, retirement is your ultimate big game. And without a solid plan, it's like stepping onto the court without practice. But here's the game changer. Claim your retirement ready toolkit for free from Drake & Associates. Just text Bucky to 262-600-2782. That's Bucky to 262-600-2782. Our retirement ready roadmap is your playbook for financial success. Let's slam dunk your retirement goals together, because at Drake & Associates, we're your winning strategy for a financial game plan.
Drake & Associates is an independent investment advisory firm that offers different investment vehicles. All insurance products are backed by the issuing insurance company. This commercial is provided for informational purposes only.
Our local Wisconsin Ford dealers postgame show continues as the Badgers defeat Platteville tonight 69-53. We mentioned Campbell will be the opening night opponent. New head coach there, John Andershek, got a late start in getting a roster together, but for all the right reasons. He was on the Florida staff winning a national championship. And it's one of those things, Butch, we've talked about this the last couple of years, and the same is true for football, these early season games. Campbell has four players back from last year. And it's a lot of transfers. You get a couple freshmen in there too, but man, it is really, it's on the fly, just getting yourself ready.
It's on the fly, and then it's about the system as well. And I think just, you know, learning it, putting a new one in, new coach. But I don't think that's as big of a deal as it always has been, just because there is so much change.
Mark Vanderwedding, the general manager, multitasking as he escorts the head coach out here. Mark, you know, going to work in the Kohl Center crowd and in the new role.
Oh,
I didn't know that Mark could be Patrick Herb and A.J. Harrison at the same time, but he just does it all.
He just does it all, absolutely.
His credit card comes here. Got another reason why Mark deserves another raise. So as Coach Gard joins us courtside. Well, he's, you know, thought maybe Jeff would, you know, not have his guys play as well and as hard as they did. But you knew, right, that just the way that they are. Good good night work, good things to build on, good teaching tape, I would
think. There'll be a lot of good teaching tape. And I think, you know, the thing is trying – I thought we were better. The biggest thing, when you shoot 6 for 25, which is going to happen, right, there will be a game when we shoot 18 for 25. But our ability to defend, and I finally found a combination there towards the back half, the second half, that could – understand what we needed to do, had the experience to be able to do what we needed to do, and put string stops together. So, you know, I think they told me we had 10 kills, so that's 10 times three consecutive stops. So that's, you know, when the ball doesn't go in, you have to be able to defend and take care of it. We didn't take care of it great, specifically, you know, Aussie. And he said that's the most turnovers he ever had in his life.
I said, well, that better be a high watermark there.
But, they're under, I think, getting everyone to understand the attention to detail that it takes on every possession. And we have high standards, and, we continue to improve and demand better. And that's what we'll continue to help. That'll help this group grow.
When you look at the defensive end early on in the game, a lot of straight line drives, a lot of just getting there real quick, and then it's a quick turn to Monday. So you teach that, but what are some of those teaching points that you kind of get through to your guys, like, hey, we've got to be better because the competition is going to continue to increase just based
pressure.
On the way that you guys
the ball pressure got better the second half of that first half. And I think the last 8 minutes we were better defensively because we turned up the heat on the ball better, and we're more physical with it. We were aggressive. We forced more turnovers. It was really a mindset thing of taking it to them and not sitting back on your heels. And I think once, you know, I thought Janicki gave us some good minutes both. You know, stat line isn't, you know, a lot. What's he 0 for 2? But I thought his energy, and he's played, so he understands some of the nuances when you get in those small ball lineups of how you have to cover up the ball and do that. So I think we were just more aggressive on the ball, ignited our defense.
Is that one of the things we talk about, the evolution of the offense, and you 2 years ago 75 points a game, last year 80 points a game, how things change? But is one of the things that are the same, if it's a freshman or somebody out of the portal, maybe not Rhodey necessarily, but just understanding the defensive end of the floor, that hasn't changed.
Right? That hasn't changed, and the demand to take care of the ball. I don't care how fast we were top 10 in the country, I think, last year in fewest amount of turnovers per game, and we scored 80-some points a game. So there's no correlation there. We're going to have more possessions. Do a good job for more possessions. There's the answer to that. So I'm not giving them an out because we're going to play a little faster or have more possessions. We still have to take care of the ball. And part of that is just fundamentally playing off 2 feet, not getting sped up, not letting the game speed you up mentally, just things. And a couple of them were my fault there too, because we went small with Blackwell at the four just to try to cover up some things, and we got discombobulated offensively. We're accustomed to playing with two bigs on the floor, and the spacing and the nuances and the synergy together got worse than what it was.
But I thought Nolan did a good job of catching the ball at the high post or three-point line and playing with great pace. And we talked about it during the game. The other bigs, they're new, don't necessarily understand the pace that needs to be played at. And it's one of those things that I think, you know, you see Nolan's night, what he was able to do, only 1-3, but 8 of 11, super efficient. Why? He catches the ball on the top, swings it, sets the ball screen. Guard comes off the screen. You've got the pocket pass, like great pace. Yeah. How do you translate that to the other bigs that obviously it's somewhat new, but Nolan's been in the system longer. He should have that advantage.
Yeah, experience. Yeah. You know, and it's not only the bigs, it's the guards too, of changing sides of the floor. We rarely get a pocket pass on a first side.
Yeah.
You know, you have to move the defense horizontally, and we did better at more of that in the second half. We got started with a lot of pocket passes and two-man games on the open side. So part of that's experience of just understanding you have to do it over and over and over and stay at it within a game. Keep the pressure on them. And then our perimeter's got to do I think we talked about that late in the first half. When we change sides of the floor, we get pretty easy looks. You know, we got stuff right point blank. It's when we used, and against any team, if you play on one side of the floor,
it's a tough day.
You're doing the defense a huge
big favor.
Big favor, yeah.
Nobody wants to play defense. Any kid that out there that says, I love defense more than offense, they're lying to
you. You did, Brian.
No, no. I had to learn I better play some kind of defense if I want to play.
Through this. Kamari McGee insisted he loved playing defense.
No, he's lying.
He didn't buy
it. There's no kid that likes defense more than offense. I will not believe that.
Final thought, Greg. This, we talked about it last night at the tip-off function and on your radio and TV shows we recorded this week. This is about more than the game tonight.
Right.
Yourself, Jeff, out there. We saw a number of people recognize. Again, it shows the work you and Michelle have done and the incredible generosity of the people in this state. Pretty heartwarming to see.
It is, you know, and I didn't, I appreciate everybody coming in for tonight and recognizing, obviously, those organizations, but all the other people to get that are so important and vital. There's a lot of behind-the-scenes work that goes on. I know Michelle and I's name goes on it. And our family name goes on it, but there's so many people here in Madison and also across the state that are so giving and so, so generous with their time and with their resources. And we all know we're in this. That's when we're all on the same team, mm-hmm. right? We're all on the same team trying to fight this disease, and it takes a united front to be able to make advances.
And what I love about a coach is you bring attention to the groups that are out there helping, whether it's a gas card, whether it's that, like, that's what people don't realize about it. Our family with our son, like, we didn't realize how many groups were out there until we went through it ourselves and are going through it. And it's just those little things that make such a big impact in the day-to-day approach of it that you're bringing awareness to. Everybody knows the big names. Don't get me wrong. You still need that. But it's the little the little organizations that are having such an impact as well.
Yeah, Cancer Journey, you're thinking about, well, you come for radiation or chemo or whatever treatment at a hospital or at a cancer center, and then, well, what are the other 6 days of the week? You know, and that journey takes a toll on the caregivers, obviously on the patient, but the caregivers, too, around them. So whether it's rides or meals or gas cards or massage therapy or wigs or there's so many, grassroots needs across our state, and we're just fortunate to be able to help in some way.
Well, again, applaud all of you involved for this, and congrats on tonight. Now it comes out as fast
now it's
as
real.
Curious.
Now it gets real.
But it's time. All right, appreciate it.
You bet. Thanks, guys.
Head coach Greg Gard joining us courtside. We'll take a break. Butchie and I back to wrap things up in 1 minute. This is Badger Basketball from Learfield.
Looking for a place where independence meets support? Welcome to Schmidt Woodland Hills, a residential care apartment complex serving the community for over 60 years. Enjoy spacious private apartments, personalized care, and a warm, welcoming environment designed for active living and peace of mind. With delicious meals, social events, fitness programs, and on-site support, we help you live life to the fullest. Call 608-604-8931 today to schedule a tour and see why Schmidt Woodland Hills feels like home.
At A&W, it's always a good time for a float. Date night, you'll love a float. Celebrating, you'll love a float. Craving creamy vanilla soft serve and made fresh root beer in a frosty mug? You'll definitely love a float. Only at A&W.
Always made fresh root beer. Always at A&W. Your A&W is located on Highway 61 in Boscobel. Stop by soon and enjoy.
At participating restaurants, prices may vary. Tax extra.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
Badgers defeat Platteville tonight, 69-53 in the annual Guarding Against Cancer game. And Butchie touched on it with Coach Gard. I know a lot of people have been thinking of you and your family and your son Blake coming up on, 6 weeks ago, right? His surgery. How are things going? I know a lot of people have been asking us, so let's go right to the source. How are things?
No, he's doing great. It's a long journey, but he's back to school. He's starting to become a five-year-old little boy again. We've got to calm him down a little bit. And, I just – people say what makes this school so special is it's that network. The reach out and the way that as many people have reached out and asked, how are you guys doing and how can we help and what can we do? It's genuine. It's real. And that's why I love this university so much, because it's the people. And until you go through something like we've gone through, you don't necessarily understand it. Mm-hmm. And then you go through it, which I hope nobody has to go through it. But when you do go through it, you realize that this is a special family, this university is, and the state. There's been a lot of people that didn't go to the University of Wisconsin that asked, how are you doing, and what can we do for you? What can we do for your family? I am so, so lucky, and we are so lucky to have grown up in this state. It's a special place. I don't take it for granted. I didn't, but I really don't now. There's special people here, and we're very lucky to be able to be a part of it.
And you mentioned, Butchie, you know, people in the state and people in the conference. I mean, Tom Izzo was the special guest at Guarding Against Cancer here last spring, and Coach Izzo, Coach Wojcik, their staff, they sent you a little green and white.
Green and white, but Coach Izzo sent a video for Blake, and I got to get him to a Badger game soon, because now all of a sudden he's saying, go green, go. And I go, no, we don't say that in this house, son. Like, he goes, but Coach Izzo said that's what I should say. And I was like, guys, so next time we make our way or we see Coach, I'm going to have to get after him a little bit. But this is what the conference is about. This is what this family is about, the University of Wisconsin, being here, playing here. And that's what this state's about. And I mean it, I've shared the story through the morning show that I used to do, now share the story, because I think everybody has something. Everybody has something.
Yeah.
And, hey, you attack that every day. Whatever that is you're going through, you attack that and know that you've got support to get through whatever you've got to get through. And that's why I shared our story, because I and then the other thing is selfishly, because I know I knew that I needed some support myself, and knowing that I had it behind us was able to kind of, I still attacked it. We were at a 2-hour appointment today. It's every day there's something. But we're very, very lucky to have all the support that we have because of where we live and what we do and the people that are around us.
And yeah, support people you don't even know. We did a Andy North and Friends event a few weeks ago. At the Edgewater here in Madison, and there were people coming up. Hey, what have you heard? How are things going? And you actually had sent out a post later in the day, but if it's Guarding Against Cancer the night like tonight, people asking, but they are all the time. So you know a lot of the folks who support you, and there are a lot of others you may not know, but they're thinking of you and the family every day. So great news.
We appreciate it.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So let's do this again Monday night, shall we?
Let's do it for real. Absolutely. That's my Christmas. That's for sure. So
that's right. That means you're bringing the cookies.
I'll bring lots of cookies and some popcorn.
Of course.
And a pretzel.
And away we go. Wisconsin wins it tonight over Platteville 69-53. This broadcast is a copyrighted presentation of Badger Sports Properties, a property of Learfield under the broadcasting rights granted by the University of Wisconsin. Rebroadcast or reuse of this presentation is prohibited without the express written consent of the University of Wisconsin and Badger Sports Properties. The announcers are employed by the Badger Network with the approval of the University of Wisconsin. The general manager of Badger Sports Properties is Scott Silvestri. For Brian Butch, our engineer Dave McCann, and Aisha Jackson back at our network studio, this is Matt LePay reminding you to join us on Monday night's opening night of college basketball as the Badgers take on Campbell. Thanks for listening. This is the Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
Badger basketball has been brought to you by Ho-Chunk Gaming Madison and Ho-Chunk Gaming Wisconsin Dells, proud casino partners of Wisconsin Athletics. Coors Light, Wisconsin fans choose chill. Fabic Cat, your cat equipment dealer throughout Badgerland. UW Health Sports Medicine, treating the Badgers, treating you. And by SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the official ticketing partner of the Wisconsin Badgers. Find tickets to Badger games and more. SeatGeek. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation of the Badger Sports Network.
Instead of just outrage.
Yeah. I think that what we need right now are policies and leaders who are really innovative, really creative, solving these problems of affordability and energy supply. You know, that is, policies like community energy. You subscribe to a portion of energy on a solar system that's off in a field somewhere, and you get a credit on your monthly bill. That lowers your bills automatically. I think other things that folks can be doing is just, you know, stripping the red tape around large utility scale solar systems. We got to get more renewable energy, more solar on the grid. That is the solution. And I think if we have leaders who are, you know, making the case that this is the path forward to helping folks save money, then you get to participate in this economy where you're saving money as opposed to where you're conserving. And who doesn't want to be able to just save money and not have to like lose something in exchange for that?
Yeah. No, look, on a logical, rational, sane kind of level, what you say makes perfect sense, which is why we're probably not going to do it. Because, you know, I think it was Churchill who said it. Americans always do the right thing after doing everything else first. So this is, to me, kind of one of those moments of, you know, because I look at you, and again, I'm a huge fan of solar. So walk me through some of how do you think we're going to be able to get policymakers? Because I'm with you. I think we need a presidential candidate to run on you know, electrifying the nation. The last time I remember someone having that as the central tenet of their campaign was Jerry Brown back in 91, 92. Long time ago, his thing was to rewire the country because he said we lost like 70% of all of our electricity through transmission, which is insane if that's completely accurate. But I think the person who says, look, we need a you know, kind of a Manhattan Project, if you will, of energy to rewire homes, to get better technology, to get better, you know, renewables, all of the above. Maybe do you think that works, or maybe do we still have to touch the stove?
Okay, I'm going to be optimistic here.
All right. One of us.
I'm going to say what we actually need is policy and leadership on the local, state, and federal level. And I know that that is really hard, but that means that you have a better chance of somebody on one of those levels being a leader as opposed to needing some kind of presidential Zion of solar and renewables. But what we need are, you know, these local leaders, state leaders, and federal leaders who understand that energy costs are hurting their constituents. I think that these upcoming elections may really show that. And I think we as consumers are going to have to put our money where our mouth is. You know, the folks who can go solar, go solar. There are programs for community solar in other states, actually 22 or 23 other states. Of course, Pennsylvania is behind. And I think that they're becoming more and more popular. And we're seeing a big demand for solar energy just being part of the grid and part of utilities' default service plans. So the more people put their money where their mouth is, I think we drive elected officials to pay attention.
Yeah, outside of conserve, the other word conservatives hate is community. So the I think you lost some folks there with the idea of because community. I don't know if you know. I don't know if you're up on the buzzword dog whistle politic lingo. That's code for socialist. We clearly don't want community. That would be bad. I know we've joked about this. When do you think the breaking point is, though? I mean, honestly, for all truth in this, the prices are going to skyrocket. There's going to be real pain across the board. We're going to see stories of Granny, you know, freezing to death in her home because she didn't turn on the heat. There's going to be these horrible stories. When do you see a breaking point? And are you optimistic that maybe we could avoid that? I don't even know why I'm asking that. But are you optimistic?
Yes, I am. So I think that within the next year or so, we are going to start seeing real, like, even, you know, escalating impacts of these prices. You know, we're going to start seeing another rise next year. I think that it is also the data centers are going to be starting to come online. You know, it's just naturally, things are going to be inside a pressure cooker. And I think that the legislators are really going to be responding to that. But I am really optimistic because there are a number of really great proposals at the state level here in Pennsylvania for solar. So there's something called balcony solar, which is just small solar panels that you can kind of put out on, you know, your balcony or your porch. And it just powers a couple of outlets in your home. And, you know, that is really exciting for some people to be able to participate in solar without putting down the $20,000+ to go solar. But that's just one instance of this like need and demand for solar energy that we're seeing across Pennsylvania.
There it is. At least something that someone can walk away with. And, you know, maybe tomorrow, you know, I'm sure somewhere online we can find balcony solar panels. I may actually start looking for it myself. Monica.
They're going to be at Home Depot, so.
Okay.
Okay.
All righty. Monica, I appreciate the time. Great stuff as always. Keep up the great work, and I hope you come back and talk to us again real soon.
Thank you so much, Rick. Really appreciate it.
Thanks so much, Monica Carey. She's the Pennsylvania State Director of Solar United Neighbors. You can take a look at their work at solarunitedneighbors.org. Want to hear your thoughts? Excited about the idea of putting a solar panel out on the porch there and maybe heating a little something, maybe charge your cell phone. I don't know. Something. Want to hear it? Rick@TheRickSmithShow.com. Right back. Stick around.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to 107.7 WRCE, home for the Todd Allball Show, weekday afternoons from 2 to 4.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A partly cloudy sky tonight, lows in the low 30s. And for tomorrow, partly sunny, highs in the mid 50s. On Friday, a slight chance of showers, high within a few degrees of 50. Dry and a little warmer this weekend. Currently, it's 41 degrees.
Town and Country Television and Appliance is your source for world-famous Speed Queen laundry products. With 3-, 5-, and 7-year warranty options, you'll be washing worry-free for years. Right now, an offer to save up to $400 on your choice of the sleek new matte black is waiting for you. Visit Town and Country Television and Appliance next to Goodwill, weekdays 8 to 5, or shop online at townandcountryrc.com.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
After yesterday, I got a couple of emails from folks going, "Well, who's paying for the North Mag-a-Lago, the gold-plated Ego Palace? Who's paying for the bigly tremendous ballroom of self-love and ego?" Well, ultimately, you and me, us, only they're saying it's with private money so they don't have to pay prevailing wage, like we talked about yesterday. But you know, and this is where I, again, love Bernie Sanders, who pointed out that, it's going to be Google $18 billion, Amazon $16 billion, Microsoft $12 billion, Facebook $11 billion that we've given them through the one big nightmare bill that Trump just got through. And for that, a little kickback's going to happen. You know, they'll give you a couple hundred million dollars here or there to build the monument to Trump and all of this, because they understand return on investment, and their return on investment massive. And I love when Bernie Sanders puts stuff out for me so I don't have to go looking it up. But here to share some thoughts on the North Mag-a-Lago and, well, what we're going to sacrifice at the altar of Trump's ego, I've asked my good friend Alex Lawson to come share some thoughts. Alex is the executive director of Social Security Works, socialsecurityworks.org, the website, if you want to take a look at the work that they do. Alex, thanks for taking time for us.
Rick, always my pleasure to be here.
So you're in D.C. What are your thoughts of the North Mag-a-Lago? What are your thoughts of the big, beautiful, tremendously wonderful, gaudy gold-plated ballroom that we're supposed to be getting?
You know, it it is a really easy to see kickback. I mean, this is just corruption, right? So this is what the Republicans and Trump did. They stole health care from 15 million people, doubled, tripled health care costs for 24 million more. Rural hospitals closing across this country, nursing homes, everybody's costs are going up. All of that was so they could give trillions of dollars in tax handouts to billionaires and their corporations. Then those billionaires and corporations, they just have to kick back a tiny little piece into the Epstein ballroom, and on the corruption goes. And, you know, the Trump organization went from like 50 million to over 850 million this year. So, you know, they're not trying to hide what's going on. They're stealing from us to give to the richest people in the history of the world. And those rich people are paying for that theft of our money by, you know, buying just really ugly Gilded Age, the Trumpist Gilded Age Epstein ballroom. And, you know, I'm not one for pomp and ceremony, Rick, so I'm not going to, like, spend too much time on this. But I did have the chance. I've lived here for 20 years, and I've had the chance to visit the East Wing. There's history there, yeah. You know, and they just tore it down with no – there's not even permits filed for it. There's probably asbestos spewing all over the entire place. Right. Like none of this is done in a way other than to flex exactly what it is. Right. Yeah. Which is I can do whatever I want, yeah, whenever I want, to whomever I want.
Whenever, however, all of that. And this is why I think this is a big deal. And I think it is worth spending time on, because as you pointed out, there is history there. That is our house. It's not his, it's ours, and went to nobody. There's no process in this. Using quote-unquote private money that is just kickback money from money that we've given so that they don't have to pay prevailing wage, they don't have to go by any regulations. This is, to me, what the world that they want to look like. So they want to have a king to be able to do whatever they want, however they want, whenever they want, without, you know, you or me or anyone else having any input whatsoever. So I do think this is a big deal.
It absolutely is, Rick. It's a huge deal. And I do think it's breaking through to people. I sort of wish they'd paid attention earlier, but, you know, welcome when your eyes are opened that this is what's going on. Like they wrote it down in Project 2025. So people who were paying attention, you know, they knew it's in Project 2025. We're going to do it because we think that by the time the courts catch up, yeah, it'll already be done. Fait accompli, or the Supreme Court is going to get our back. And they're doing it on all fronts, right? They just killed a bunch more people in boats that they claim are smuggling drugs, presenting no evidence. Breaking all sorts of laws, international laws, military norms, just on and on. And so this is their game. They want to show the American people that Donald Trump does not have to follow any rules. There are no checks and balances on him. And, you know, It's theater, and they're doing a good job of it. The destruction of the East Wing is like really visible. But the truth is there are checks and balances on him, and we can't let the theater of what he's doing actually become the reality.
Yeah. Are there really though? I mean, honestly,
is not checking his behavior is not because.
No, this is where I was going to go. Are there really checks and balances when you've got the Speaker of the House who, you know, he kind of, you know, humiliated by saying that, you know, Mike Johnson's going to do whatever he wants him to do.
Yeah. And so there are checks and balances in the system, meaning the authority exists. The Supreme Court could be a check on an out of control presidency. unless they're part of it, right? Unless they're complicit in it. Congress could be a check on an out of control presidency unless they're in on it, right? And that's what we're seeing here, is that the billionaire class have really locked things up. They've been playing a long game, and it is accelerating, right? And so this is what we're seeing right now, I think, is sort of the end game of the billionaires. It was 40 years, you know, this is since Reagan, but this is what they want. It's rule by the billionaires with no, you know, they don't have to think about the people, any rules. Who cares about rules? They can do whatever they want to whoever they want. That's their vision. This is the Trumpist Gilded Age.
But Alex, he's the getter done president. He's just getting stuff done. That's all. All that stuff that you're talking about just gets in the way of getting stuff done. Didn't you know?
I mean, he's definitely getting stuff done, like jacking up everyone's healthcare premiums. And that happens November 1. I mean, it's Rick, I'm a nerd. I'm a policy wonk. So as I know the magnitude of what's coming, and just people just don't get it. And this is just the start of this cataclysmic cascade of, right? Like, people's healthcare, their insurance is going to go up, you know, two, three. That's sort of if you're lucky, 2 to 3 times, right? And if you're unlucky, goes up, I think there is a story of Oregon, eightfold, right? Like that's unaffordable. So obviously what people are going to do is they'll go without healthcare and they're going to die. They're going to get sick and die. That's what the plan of the Gilded Age is, right? They want to create they don't want prosperous working class, middle class society that has power. They want scrambling, destitute and desperate people who will, you know, do whatever the billionaires tell them to do. Wow. And that's what we're seeing, but that is the vision that they have. I will also say the people still have a tremendous amount of power. We have to exercise it, and we have to, in every avenue, push against this idea that he's a dictator. He can do whatever he wants, or ICE can do whatever they want. They can't. They can't do whatever they want. They are still governed by laws. That they can get away with something for a while is very different than that they're allowed to do it, no, right? There will be a day after Trump when people are held to account.
Will there be? I mean, you know, I keep seeing the trial balloon being floated that 2028, he's going to run for re-election. And I know my MAGA friends are going, he's just joking. No, that's what we used to call a trial balloon, to see how if it will float. And the weird thing is I haven't heard people coming out and resoundingly saying, under no circumstances is it possible that he runs in 28, which is the weird thing to me, because that's the reality. That's what you're talking about.
Yeah, I mean, it's this sort of lulls Nazism thing that they do, right? Where they're like, oh, no, it's just a joke. The truth is he can't run again. It's not possible. So what he could do is subvert our democracy and go against the Constitution. And then we're in a different country, right? Like then the United States of America ceases to exist. That's always possible. We are not, you know, some magical country that can't have happen to us what happens around the world and throughout history, where governments are toppled by very rich, very powerful, and oftentimes very dumb people who run it into the ground. And that can happen here unless the people fight back. But it's not going to be, you know, a piece of paper that actually saves us. It's not going to be rules and norms. It's going to be the people enforcing those rules. It's going to be the people standing up and saying, you know what? No, I'm not going to allow this to happen. And I do think that we are getting more and more signals that, you know, especially because the healthcare cost increases, I mean, that's deep in MAGA land are getting hurt the worst, right? Like the Arkansas is getting just savaged by the healthcare cost increases. And so the propaganda cannon is starting to, I think, break down some, because you can lie to people and they can believe it if it's happening over there. Right. But when it's happening to them right now and they can see it, they can't deny it. And I do think that's where, you know, after these months of the presidency, I think that's where we are now, and at least November 1.
Because all of the things that I'm seeing, healthcare costs, you know, New Jersey said 175% increase in their costs. I saw that yesterday. Electricity prices are going through the roof. Gas prices are still going up. They haven't gone down to a buck a gallon. Eggs, they haven't gone down to 99 cents a dozen either. Everything that we were told about the utopia of a Trump dictatorship hasn't come to fruition, and it doesn't appear to me that he's at all interested, considering the fact that his spokesperson said that the one thing he's most focused on is that North Mag-a-Lago.
Yeah, the Epstein ballroom. And you know what? I think that is probably true, because if you like really get the symbolism there, the overt corruption and demonstration of the imperial presidency, that's what he's saying. I just tore down the people's house that I am do not own, right? Like, I just destroyed it because I can. So I do think he probably is focused on that. Now, what the people are focused on, they see that as a symbol, but they're going to be focused on the fact that they can't afford to live in this country. And it's worse. And it's his fault. And I think that's what's becoming more and more clear to people. Republicans are on vacation while the Democrats are saying, we want to work with you Republicans to help you Republicans help your constituents who are getting hurt the hardest. And the Republicans are like, nope, we're going to shut down the government rather than help our constituents afford to live in this country.
No, it's amazing. And look, you know, I've had people say, well, it hasn't gotten so bad yet. And I'm going, it is. Everywhere you look, things are starting to break down. And in your world of Social Security, I get calls from people who are going, hey, I've tried to get through. I've got friends who've got family members trying to get through. All they get are automation and hold. There aren't people to talk to, and the AI stuff isn't working. Unless you know how to navigate these systems, you're kind of screwed. And I understand the Washington Post just did a big story on this topic.
Yeah. What we've talked about, Rick, right? Like I know what's happening in Social Security and the experts who we talk to, and they're just telling us over and again, it's just getting worse, right? Like the situation is just getting worse. And you have one person in an office where there used to be 10. Nobody can get through on the phones. That's what the Washington Post piece was about. And, you know, I've even had some people like sort of maybe a cynicism, you know, like, oh, well, you're saying that you're overhyping it. And I'm like, I'm underhyping it, if anything. The Washington Post, you know, really detailed. And it's not accidental. They didn't accidentally destroy our ability to get in touch with the Social Security Administration about our money. It's part of their plan to wreck it, to privatize it, to make things worse so that they can profit, right? And the guy on top of it, Frank Bisignano, the company, they run privatized Social Security. So they're not hiding it. It's flexing. So it was a really great piece. I actually invite everyone I urge everyone to read it and to send it to their members of Congress, Republicans, Democrats, everybody, and, you know, point out, like, this is unacceptable. We pay for the phone system. It's not the government. It's not general fund. It's from premiums that we pay into Social Security. That also pays for the administration of it. But what Trump's doing to Social Security is exactly what he's done to the East Wing of the White House, and they're just destroying things for profit. That's their only game plan, right?
And it's been their goal for a very long time. So, again, not surprised. It's been written in the Bible. It is right there in Project 2025. And maybe they'll put the Bible and the Constitution in Project 2025 together in the next fleecing of Trump's flock when they try and hawk that merch off. Last bit I've got for you. Obviously, the shutdown's continuing on. Do you see an end coming? Do you see fixes to this stuff? Or, as you said a moment ago, all this breaking is on purpose for the goal of, I think, privatizing. Anything?
Yeah, I think there is, once it's right in front of people's faces, they're going to just hammer their politicians, their members of Congress, their senators. And then those Republicans are going to, and you're starting to see it break already, right? You're seeing some pretty prominent defections. Because at the end of the day, a very wise person told me this, politicians only care about one election, their own. So they're like, okay, well, Donald Trump can destroy me with his billionaire friends if I stand against him. But so they're more scared of him than their constituents. But once people are literally, their families are being ripped apart by not being able to afford the health care that they need all across this, especially red MAGA territory, I think that there will be a deal that is reached, because it's literally, again, it's the Democrats saying to the Republicans, just work with us. We're trying to help you help your constituents, right? Like, the Democrats are saying, we don't care that this is, you know, bad for us politically, because what's good would be to just let it all be terrible, right? And let the consequences. But the Democrats are saying, work with us. We will help people in your states, in your districts. And the Republicans are saying, no, we're not we're going to shut down the government rather than help our constituents, our bosses. And so I do think the scale will change when their offices are just being flooded, when those rate notices go out to everybody on November 1st. And Rick, the last part on that is, that's why they're spending, they're putting an enormous amount of effort into hiding that to the last moment. Any other year, all of this stuff would have already been out by mid-October. But the insurance companies are working. They don't want Trump to turn on them. So they're delaying getting those notices out to the last minute. Senators Wyden and Schumer just had a big push on this, that Health and Human Services, HHS, needs to stop hiding what is about to happen, right? Like, give people warning. It's called window shopping. And it's saying your rates are about to go way up, so you might want to start looking around now. But November 1, it happens. Everybody's going to get it. So that's when I think those phone lines on the Hill are going off the hook.
Yep. Well, we'll see what happens. Alex, as always, I appreciate the time. I like to say good stuff, but not really. Not good for us. Alex Lawson, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Want to hear your thoughts. You ready for it? You ready for, as he's pointing out, come November 1st, the big increases? I want to hear your thoughts. Rick at TheRickSmithShow.com. Going to take a quick break. Right back. Stick around. I'm Rick Smith, and this is Labor History in Two. On this day in labor history, the year was 1975. That was the day that the National Organization for Women, or NOW, called for a strike by women across the nation. They called the day Alice Doesn't Day. This referred to a critically acclaimed movie by the director Martin Scorsese that came out the year before, entitled Alice Doesn't Live Here Anymore. The main character in the film is Alice Height, who pursues her dream of being a singer after she is widowed. The film was lauded by feminists as a story of women's empowerment. NOW used the film title and asked women to participate with the slogan, Alice Doesn't, You Fill in the Blank. Women were encouraged to participate in the day however they could, including refraining from volunteering, shopping, and if possible, working for one day to demonstrate their importance to the economy. Women who could not skip work were asked to wear armbands to show their solidarity with the cause. In an interview published in the Chicago Tribune, now President Karen DeCroo explained, quote, "There is a myth that women in the workforce could go home. But if they did, our economy would stop. If all the secretaries did not come to work, all things would stop." But not all women were excited about the day. Some anti-feminist women decided to protest the day by wearing pink, baking cookies, and performing other stereotypical female tasks. While now called the event a success, Time magazine deemed it a spectacular failure. One critique was that the event reflected the white middle-class dominance of the women's movement. Working-class women, and especially women of color, had a much more difficult time withholding their labor. Labor History in 2 brought to you by the Illinois Labor History Society and the Rick Smith Show. For more information, go to laborhistoryin2.com.
You're listening to the Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
You know, it's interesting listening to Alex that it's going to hurt in MAGA land a lot more. And the weird thing is as he was talking, I was thinking about something I had seen on a Facebook post that maybe got, there's no way that there are people walking around New York City with MAGA for Mamdani t-shirts and merch on. And the reality is, as I dug into it, there are actual MAGA people who, what they bought was we're going to make you dictator, but I want cheap bags. I want cheap stuff. I want my MTV. I want cheap stuff. I want life to be easy, and it's not. And that's the reason that they're listening to Mamdani, who's going, look, we're gonna do some stuff on public transit. We're gonna do stuff on housing, on affordability. Taking care of people who are struggling, helping people, you know? Sad reality is, though, the Republicans are using Mamdani to weaponize his candidacy. I've heard a lot of, he's a socialist, he's a communist, because he is talking about, and it's weird to me, that the Muslim guy's talking about Christian values and the Christians are like, no, we can't have that. It's a weird world we're in right now. It really is. Because, remember when Republicans were for corporate America? Now they're for oligarchs. Remember when, corporations were somewhat, pretending to care about the country and Republicans were all on board and Democrats were there too? But they at least believe that workers should have some rights to balance the power of corporate America. It's now, we don't even care about, it's almost like we don't care about corporations. We're bringing back kings and lords and that on the Republican side. And it got me thinking about something. My grandfather told me a story, long, long time ago, about, back in the 70s. It was their wedding anniversary, and he thought it'd be nice to take my grandmother to a nice dinner and to a play that she had wanted to go to downtown. At least this was the story. And, he saved up and, made reservations and did all of this stuff as a working person would. You follow the rules. So he bought the tickets, he made reservations, showed up on time, all of that stuff. And he said he remembered, walking into the restaurant and, with their nice clothes on. And the boss was there trying to get a table. And they came and took my grandfather and my grandmother and sat them down. And they had dinner and the boss, got seated a little bit later. And he said they went to the play and they got there in plenty of time. And they were sitting there and there were two seats open next to them. And a little bit, as the play was about to start, in come the boss because, dinner ran late. And he said, I knew then that workers had gotten some power and that the bosses were gonna really push back. And here we are all these years later, his prediction of them crushing the working class and then putting us back in our place. We're living it. We're living what he knew, which is they don't want working people around. They want us to clean up, to do their work, to make them their profits, to do all that stuff, but not have the security, not have the benefits, not have a bit of, well, of life, of prosperity. Mission accomplished, wealth class. This is where we are. I want to hear your thoughts. Email me, rick@thericksmithshow.com. You got a story like that? Grandpa share something with you? I want to hear it. Email me, rick@thericksmithshow.com. Miss any portion of the program? Download the podcast. And as always, thanks so much for being here. We'll see you back here next time.
You've been listening to The Rick Smith Show. Email Rick. Email Rick. At rick@thericksmithshow.com. Until next time, this has been The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. President Trump meeting this hour with China's President Xi.
Well, thank you very much. It's a great honor to be with a friend of mine, really for a long time now, if you think about it. The very, very distinguished and respected president of China.
Tariffs and rare earths among the items on the agenda. Earlier, Trump touting the U.S. nuclear capacity, saying the United States has more nuclear weapons than any other country, and he instructed the Department of War to start nuclear testing on an equal basis to other countries' testing programs, which will begin immediately. The U.S. sending search and rescue resources to Jamaica, as well as Haiti and the Bahamas, all hard hit by Hurricane Melissa. Officials in Jamaica say 77% of the island's without power. A jury today convicting an Illinois sheriff's deputy of second-degree murder in the shooting death of Sonia Massey, a black woman who called 911 to report a suspected prowler. This is ABC News.